We're floating like butterflies and stinging like bees. Rumble, you badass jet pilots, rumble. Hi, welcome to the Wingman Show. My name is Drew Brown. We hope to inspire, entertain, and learn something so we can all make this world a better place for our children. I'd like to introduce to you somebody who's my friend, my wingman, my main man, and I have a wingman watching my back, Dr. Paul Thompson. Hey, Paul, what's happening?
Oh, not much. Hello, everyone. I'm Paul Thompson, and you just heard from Mr. Drew Brown, Dark Gable. He's the American dream. He's the man, the myth, the legend, the pilot's pilot, the role model's role model, and most importantly, his royal fullness. How are you doing today, Mr. Dark Gable?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad I'm full of knowledge, Paul. I'm glad I'm full of knowledge. Well, we're going to have a great show right now. Check this out.
Dr. Paul, first, I must say thank you for coming over to my house and attending my son's wedding. You and Kim were wonderful, wonderful guests. I have to start the show up by saying that there is a God who I call Shorty because he was here this weekend. My son got married to his beautiful bride, Heather. It was a very closed affair, just very close family. And Paul, that's what a wingman is, very close family. But it went off without a hitch. 3 days, the baby shower, and then the wedding, and then the brunch. So I want to thank you so much, Dr. Paul.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for the invite. It was a great affair. My wife and I consider ourselves fortunate to be with such an august group. It was so restrictive and so special. Even the Queen of England wasn't invited. She probably couldn't have gotten in anyway because they had security. I think we'll show a picture of the security. Very, very tight security.
No doubt.
But it was a great affair. And the food was really good. Only thing I wish was we could have brought some of the food home to eat the next day.
If you would have stayed a little later, you could have came down to the juke joint. And you could have definitely taken food home because there was
okay. But we had plenty.
Thank you so much. Well, I want to tease this. I got to tease this wingman story, man. This is when the sword or the thought of the sword was mightier than the word. This wingman story is going to be the bomb about somebody taking action. You know, good overcomes evil on this one.
Good. Look forward to it.
All right. Guess what? Can you see me? I got my muscle shirt on. And the truth is, I'm wearing my muscle shirt because of my Band-Aid. Because I just got my third shot. I'm as protected as I can physically be. And the reason I'm saying this is that they just okayed the vaccine for children 3 to 11. Mm-hmm. My problem is that they can't get adults to get vaccinated. Do they really think they're going to put their kids in there to get vaccinated? And I was thinking about this vaccination thing, honest to goodness. First of all, it was approved, I think, 17 to 0. 17 of these are the finest doctors in the world. See, this is just math, actually science. Anyway, 17 to 0 with one abstaining. Can you tell me what that dude abstaining was doing?
He wasn't sure.
Well, then say no. If you're not sure as a scientist, say no. Anyway, it's like our politicians. Are you kidding? You ever watch the vote on C-SPAN and you'll see yays and nays and abstain? What do you mean you abstain? That's why you got voted there to make a decision about something like this.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah, they abstain so they don't piss anybody off or they piss off an equal number of people.
100%. They're covering their ass.
Right. It's a big circle.
We know about that in the Navy, don't we?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, they're going to okay the vaccine for children. And the last thing I have to say about this is that science is just math. If you believe 2 + 2 = 4, then science is just math. Because whatever they do, they make so many results that it's a mathematical problem. And nothing is... You know this, Dr. Paul, nothing's 100%. So if you're going to go with the 0.6, 0.4 points percent, then that's up to you. But these are the greatest scientists in the world that are saying yes. And I'm happy that I'm vaccinated. And I'm happy that hopefully I won't hurt anybody with this virus. Okay. Dr. Paul, tell me about your son, because he's here from faraway land.
Okay. Well, first, the 0 point. You got a lot of zeros and a lot of points. But I guess the point is if you got more than one decimal point, you've got some Drew math going on, which is the new math. This is new math. But
hey, I'm trying to make a point here. That's how small it is. Okay. And some people really don't know math that well. Not okay. Like you, Dr. Paul. So
okay, basically,
your intelligence.
okay. Won't be a reading rainbow or anything like that. But yeah, my son is back. He was in the Philippines for quite a while, and he just got his vaccination just yesterday. And you know, he was kind of somewhat of a skeptic. He could have done it in the Philippines, but it was a China vaccine, made in China. And I guess I won't say it's ineffective, but the thought being not sure if it's effective or not. So he waited until he could get back to the US to actually do it. And he did it. And his arm hurts, but you know, he waited to come to the US. The thing was that you couldn't even board an airplane, an international flight, unless you prove you didn't have it. So, you know, he came, grandson came, you know, he got the first one, basically says for the paperwork to make life easy. And he's there. But I thought about that versus, you know, your good friend Kyrie Irving, who's still out. And it was interesting a few days ago. There was a big demonstration. I don't know if you heard about it. There's a big demonstration in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. Wow. And it was before the first home game, which they lost. And it was like free, you know, it was like a free Britney Spears thing. It was, we support Kyrie. And there were at least 100 or maybe hundreds of demonstrators who were trying to actually break into the Barclays Center. And it showed security. It showed security trying to keep them out. And they're not fighting 100%, but they're a good 50. They're a good 50% effort. And they had the posters and their people from they're black, they're white, they're young, they're old, Asian, different folks. And they think they called the body independence movement or something like that. So you still have a lot of, it's not just a rural thing. You can't just say it's a southern thing, or if it's the Mountain West or something like that. No, this is right down in the heart of Brooklyn.
Uneducated people everywhere, Dr.
Correct.
Paul.
Correct.
And this man made a choice. This is not somebody doing something to him. Yeah. He's made a choice to go against the norm.
Right. And the thing is,
everybody in the NBA is getting that shot. This is his choice. This is not a freedom fight.
Right. Yeah, that's it, because the story's kind of changed. Initially, I thought the position he took was that I'm doing this for all the people that are being forced or mandated to do it. And the last thing I saw, if it's accurate or not, it says, well, I'm doing what's right for me. It does say that, which, okay, that's his position. He could take it. But anyway, all the adults here, you know, have been vaccinated. I've not hit my booster. I had the flu shot, which I used to not even do that stuff, honestly, till about 3 years ago. And, you know, that's a choice I made. I didn't take a flu shot till about 3 years ago. And I'm thinking, you know, as I'm getting older, it makes a little more sense. But I've had that. I've had there's a pneumonia shot. There are two of them. You take 2 years apart. I did that. The second one.
You're well vaccinated, brother. You're well vaccinated. Yeah.
Hopefully I can get a little smarter.
That's because you love you. And I love that you love you because I love me. And I'm going to do everything I can to stay healthy. You know,
and how long does a booster last?
I don't know. Until the next one. Look, I'm going for it. I'm 66. I got 34 more hot summers to go.
At least
jam them every summer until then. Anything over 100 is bonus. That's how I'm rolling. Anyway, you like guns. I like guns. I don't believe in this Second Amendment covering my guns, because the Second Amendment is for guns against the government. But that's another story and another time. But They just killed somebody. Alec Baldwin just killed somebody on a movie set. And he killed him with a live round in a gun during a scene. And he shot it right at the camera person. And it killed her and then wounded the director. First of all, what are live bullets doing there? The answer they say now is about doing target practice. This is unacceptable. By any means, this is unacceptable. You were able to carry a firearm when you were a captain on a 777 because you went through that training. Right. And yet you are blessed with a great son who's really knowledgeable about this. Why don't you take us through this, Dr. Paul?
Well, it's interesting. We were just talking about that last night because my son actually did that job for the government. So he knows a little bit about it. And he basically said what you said. The problem was with that person that handles them is called an armorer, A-R-M-O-R-E-R, armorer. He says it's the armorer's fault. Now, you can look at it as just typical, you know, basic gun safety. But he said it falls on the armorer. He said if that had happened to him, he'd probably be doing jail time when he's doing with the government. So I think they are obviously casual on the set. Because you got live bullets and fake bullets, and that's, I understand, is a big no-no. They said on the set they would go plinking. They'd take live bullets and go shoot cans to, you know, kill time. Well, obviously, things got mixed up. I was always taught from a little bit of the military and the civilian world that you kept your bullets separate, and if you didn't want to shoot yourself, even when you're cleaning your gun, a lot of people shoot themselves cleaning the gun. If you have bullets anywhere... They shoot themselves clean.
How about shooting yourself when you're walking into a strip club like our brother Giants wide receiver?
Plexico Burris. Yeah. He shot himself. You know, obviously the thing wasn't in a holster. It's loose in your pocket. That can easily happen. It's loose moving around. And he grabbed on a handkerchief or something and boom. But the thing was, he did jail time for that. But the thing is that if you clean your gun, if you have bullets, have them in another room or on the other side of the room, because if the bullets are close together, the bullets themselves will actually crawl inside the gun. They'll crawl inside the gun when you can't see it, and they'll make you shoot yourself because they'll take over. So keep your bullets separately. I never forgot that story. Even when I went through the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in New Mexico, and that training was based on someone who had no gun experience at all, zero. And they basically said the same thing. The most dangerous part, maybe not dealing with a terrorist, but maybe when you're cleaning your gun. And I put the two together. Well, obviously, they didn't do that. You know, a round got in there and nobody checked, you know, And again, they were using revolvers, not with magazines. They were all, you could easily, you know, pop the thing open to look at it. But six shooters. It's not, you know.
The guy said that he looked at a couple of them.
Yeah. What is that? Oh boy, you know, it's tragic. I mean, again, think about it. One person was killed and the other injured. That was just one bullet.
You're right. That's not funny. That's just, you know, I'm glad we didn't learn that. And I'm glad, God bless the families of those people. It just didn't need to happen. Right. You know what, Dr. Paul?
What?
You and I flying off the carrier and going as high as we went, we were as close to space as we're going to get, probably. Probably. In those jets behind me, what you're seeing is somebody breaking the sound barrier. And can you give me the speed sound, please?
Speed of sound. I think it's sea level on a standard day, and it's like 59 degrees. I don't know exactly. I think it's going to be 7-something, maybe 7:30. The biggest thing that you can figure it out. There's an equation for it.
I know.
The biggest difference is temperature.
Correct. So about 730 miles an hour.
Okay, that's good.
Super fast. And one of the greatest things, one of the best things, I'm sure you saw this, air shows on the carrier, Tomcats used to come and break the sound barrier right in front of the carrier. And it looked like a cartoon. They were coming so fast. And the sound didn't come for a while. Right. It was the most incredible, powerful thing you could ever feel. I love that, and I miss that. Part of flying. I mean, that was excitement. It looked like a cartoon. They were going so fast.
Yeah. Well, again, you can do that there because you're either over the water, you know, international waters. There's no real rules. You can't do that over land. Right. But they're working on some supersonic aircraft.
Hypersonic.
Well, not hypersonic aircraft, hypersonic missiles. Supersonic right. aircraft. The hypersonic is the word Mach 5. That's right. that's the kill zone. But the supersonic over Mach 1, trying to develop one that doesn't create a sonic boom.
Wow.
That's being worked on. I don't know if it'll ever happen.
That's fast. That's fast, and that's my point. That's really, really fast. But scientists, once again, and I hope you believe in scientists out there, whoever's listening, but NASA just found another planet, and it is outside our galaxy, outside the Milky Way. And do you know how far away it is?
How far?
28 million light years away. So that sounds fast, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Let me explain what a light year is. A light year, it's 180,000 miles a second. You can travel the world, the circumference of the world, in 7.5 times in 1 second. That's how fast it is. How an airliner, when we would fly from New York to California, and we would fly as fast as we could, would take still 4 hours. So that's the comparison of how fast this is. So I know some people don't believe in this, but there is something big out there. And I love not knowing, and I love learning more about this. What do you think about that?
Well, 28 million light years, that's a long way. You know, because we're in the Milky Way galaxy, and the Milky Way galaxy is, the length of it is 100,000 light years. The whole thing, 100,000 light years wide, but it's only 1,000 light years thick, which is weird. So it's kind of like a weird curve. So a light year, because I know we're going to talk about it. A light year is how far you would go. A light year, basically, the distance is about 6 trillion miles. So if you multiply 6 trillion by 28 million, that'll give you the distance, which will give you exponents, something to the whatever power.
It's you know what the answer to that is? Like most people think what a billion is. When I tell somebody I ask them, what's a billion? They go, a lot of money. A billion is $1,000 million.
$1,000 million.
But when you just said what you said, I swear my brain went to, that's far away.
Yeah, that's scientific notation. Yeah, it's a long way away. Yeah. Now, the next closest galaxy is what? The Andromeda galaxy. But we're just in this one. And how many planets or how many stars in this galaxy? 300 million, 400 million. That's like suns.
And no, planets. I'll tell you. I know how many stars there are.
How many?
Dr. Brown, my son, once again, smartest doctor I know. Okay. And, I do have a doctor who loves me more than anybody in the world. So I listen to whatever he says. But listen to this. These are how many stars are out there. For every grain of sand on this planet, every grain of sand, there are 10,000 stars.
That's about right. That could even be an undercount. that could be an undercount.
We don't exaggerate. You know where we live, Dr. Paul? We live in Hotlanta, and the Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros are playing in the World Series right now. Really interesting story is that both of these teams do not like the commissioner of baseball whatsoever. And his name is Charlie Morton. And Atlanta doesn't like him because Charlie Morton's the one who pulled the All-Star game because of the Georgia voting law. They don't like him, the Atlanta Braves. The Houston Astros don't like him because those cheating son of a guns, and I didn't want to say son of a guns, he punished them for cheating during that whole playoff and that World Series run. And I'm really upset with the Houston Astros. They were looking at pitches and giving signals with a garbage can so the batter knew what pitch was coming. And we were talking about this yesterday. I'm telling you, these guys are super, super athletes, and they can hit curveballs, and they can hit fastballs, and they can hit changeups and sliders if they know they're coming. And That was one of the most major cheating scandals in the world. But anyway, getting back to Charlie Morton, that's why Houston doesn't like him, because their fans thought that the punishment was too severe. And I don't even know how they got punished.
Well, that's an example of, you know, technology being used for many purposes maybe they weren't intended for. Because what they did was they had a cameras out in center field. Excuse me. They had cameras out in center field, and somehow they got it to the second baseman. Second baseman looked at the signal the pitcher was going to throw, and that whatever the pitch and catcher were going to do, if got to second base, he would make a signal, and the camera would pick it up. And they had a way of, okay, looking at what the second baseman signaled.
Oh, wow.
so they'd be able to, and then somehow they beat the trash can. I guess maybe one if by land, two if by sea or something like that. Anyway, the guy at bat with the, oh, boom, boom, boom. Okay. Slider somehow. So, and they
that's
got
major cheating for these type of athletes. It's not like you and I batting, Every time we're hit, we're happy. You know,
they're going to take this ball and put it 410 feet over this fence, even though it's coming at 100 miles an hour.
Do you remember a baseball player played for San Diego Padres a long time ago? God, I wish I knew his name. But anyway, they said he swung so fast that the catcher smelled wood.
That's kind of like,
I'll put his name up on YouTube for the people who watch the show.
Okay, isn't that a lot like Ali saying, I'm so fast, I can turn off the lights and I'll be in bed before the room gets dark?
That's kind of like it, except Ali couldn't do it and this guy could.
Okay.
So anyway, how about this one? Colleges, which, you know, I am 100% for. I wasn't given a choice. You weren't given a choice. Honest to God, that was the start of my professional life. I am so happy that my parents didn't give me a choice about my education. No choice whatsoever. I don't see how you give a kid at the dumbest part of his life, 16 and 17, the most important decision he'll ever make, and that's whether to continue his education. But anyway, the elite schools like Harvard, University of Texas, Yale, all the top schools, UCLA, their enrollment is way up. They're doing very well. But the poorer colleges and the community colleges, enrollment are going down. They're going down, 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 down. And this is the first time that that's happened. I don't know the dichotomy of it. But one of the interesting things, so those are mostly, you know, community colleges, small, I believe, religious colleges, ones who don't have a lot of money are not doing well. Well, the HBCUs, which I was blessed to go to, I went to Southern University of New Orleans. They're all exploding. They're exploding. And one of the greatest things that happened to me is that I was able to get a scholarship to one of these schools, because it really changed my life. One of the things is you couldn't blame being black anymore. They took that right out of the equation. Now you had to be a different, you know, alpha or kappa. I was alpha phi omega. But, you know, you had to put it on something else, light skin, dark skin, or just something else. You couldn't do it on black.
You're from New York.
But, yes, from New York. Oh, 100% that. I was a Yankee.
That worked on a lot of stuff.
Well, what do you think about this college thing, Doc?
Well, yeah, I've seen that the enrollments there, the HBCUs have gone up a lot, maybe the highest ever. And the strange thing is that they're getting applications from the Western United States, from the West Coast and the Midwest, more so than before. I think mainly because of the state of relations in the country, and young folks not wanting to be under the gun, so to speak, or as much. But there are challenges anywhere you go. But it looks like HBCUs are really kind of blossoming. Even big time athletes are coming there now. That's a change too. Big time basketball and football folks are coming
Dr. Thompson, if the greatest black athletes in the country all went to HBCUs, the HBCUs would be just like UCLA and everybody else. It's about winning.
Yeah, they used to be. It used to be. Yeah, right. Yeah, they had TV contracts, all that stuff. They do it.
Because yeah, but high school parents are looking at Notre Dame coming and saying, your son will be on TV every single week. He'll definitely go pro, and that's the choice you got to make. But what do you think about the poor colleges losing people? Because that's saying something. What it's saying, I think, is that the distance between the haves and the have-nots are getting greater. I guarantee you that the way out of having not is education. And when people are not gravitating to that, people who come from low income like you and I do, when we don't gravitate to that, there's very few options, Dr. Paul, very few options. Why are these schools losing?
Yeah, well, there's just a disparity in money. Some of it's just not sustainable. The cost of going to get a degree, some of these places are you know, it's like light year money. A degree in what? I've got a degree in Harvard sociology or something like that. Okay, fine. It costs like maybe six times as much as in other places. Are you really six times smarter? That's the question you got to ask. Are you six times smarter? Are you going to get six times the income? Probably not.
Well, wait. There's a reason for going to Harvard. They're not smarter than anybody. Your roommate in 10 years is the vice president of Procter & Gamble. The guy who, the suite mate across the hall, he's a senator from Oklahoma. It's the friendships you make there.
Oh, connections you're talking about.
100%.
See,
University of Texas. Let me tell you something. You play football for Texas, you got a job. If you're good and you do well, you got a job.
Okay. I don't know. It's a world I know nothing of. You're with the rich and the famous and the high and the mighty. I'm just watch stuff on TV.
But I mean, you went to the University of Pittsburgh in engineering, and your degree is excellent. And no matter what other school, it has nothing to do with knowledge. It has something to do with the connections you make throughout school.
True. And that's where I met the great grand Ayatollah. The knower of all things worth knowing, you know? Where would I be without that?
I am now making my PSA. The Wingman PSA just came to me. If you are not planning on getting a four-year degree, this is for people in high school. If you are not planning on getting a four-year degree, you can get out now because fast food restaurants need you. There are help wanted signs all over for $11.25. You can start your career immediately. Go to college. Thank you. This has been a PSA by the Wingman.
I'm going to add to the PSA a little bit. They need workers, true. But for how long? Because there are machines or robots being made to do that as we speak.
That's a good one. That's why your brain, you know, my son's a spine surgeon. You're a pilot. I'm a pilot. Those are things you can't take away from us. Right. I always said you could strip us butt naked, throw us in the deepest, darkest jungle, and in half a year, we'll be flying something for somebody.
Doing something. Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, some things are hard science. I think you should call it hard science because it's hard to do. You know, you've got to have a little academic rigor and you have to stress yourself and you have to go through some stuff.
Hey, nothing good comes easy. You know that. I know that. The hardest things I've ever done gave me the greatest benefits, like going to the Navy. That was hard for me. AOCS, they kicked my butt. Learning to fly an airplane, it's really hard to fly it tactically and fly it good and be with the greatest pilots in the world. That's not easy.
But yeah, that's a pressure-packed environment. It's not like going out on a Saturday with your uncle or something like that ahead of thing.
But look what we got in the end.
Right.
You get what you pay for. How about the Wingman story, man? How about this Wingman story? This is the bomb, Dr. Paul. In Shreveport, Louisiana, they had 20 arrests, and I think in two or three days, they were starting to have big-time fights, big-time gang fights related. It started getting incredibly violent, and something amazing happened. These wingmen came together, 40 dads, and if you can look at us at YouTube, go to us on www.wingmenshow.com. That's W-I-N-G menshow.com. I'll put up these pictures, but these dads ain't playing, dog. These dads are not fooling around. 40 of them came together, big brothers. And guess what? Everything stopped because those dads were serious. They came together and good overcomes evil. That's a wingman story for you. They came together for their children.
That's great. You know, and I listened to an interview. They had like eight of them in a room. And he was kind of talking about how it came about, and it goes with what you said. But one of them pointed out something that I think is the cause of most of it, a lot of it. He said a lot of folks, they have no male influence at all, no adult male influence at all. So they're being dads to more than just their own children. That's just a general thing. You know, like they're cops or electricians. They're dads, but they're dads to everyone because a lot of them don't have dads. That's where a lot of folks have fallen down, and you have, you know, like zero discipline, and you have kids who are attacking teachers or attacking handicapped teachers and things like that. It's unfortunate that you have to get a situation where you've got, you know, the UFC heavyweight champion who can handle you easy to keep you in line. But it's very important when you're raising children to get them in line really before the age of 7. 100%. By the age of seven, a lot of character development has already taken place, whether you realize it or not. Now, I didn't know this until I was, you know, raising son, and a friend told me that. He just threw that out. I said, yeah, okay, if you say so, all right, I'll think about it. Now, going forward, you know, 25, 30 years, I think, yeah, you're right. I see it now. And he was older, certainly older. But a lot of folks lose things. So now you're trying to, so even this is a stopgap measure. It's a good measure. But the fact that you have to have SROs, resource officers, you got to have resource officers or dads who are the size of linebackers to keep you in line, not to protect you from the Taliban or space creatures or something like that, but to keep you from yourself, you've got internal family problems. This goes a lot deeper.
I have an answer for this. Just think of this little theory that I've always had. If we started paying kindergarten through sixth grade male teachers hundreds of thousands of dollars to be kindergarten teachers, first and second grade teachers, and where we recruit these people are from colleges, all the linebackers, all the centers, all the athletes who are 6'7", 240 pounds, 6'10", 310, all these guys don't make it to the pros. But if they can make a great living teaching second graders, guess what? A second grader doesn't say anything to a 7-footer. Nothing at all. Pretty much, they need those men. So that's my little answer to our
problem. Yeah, if they don't happen at home. Here's, well, at one time, you kind of had that to a point. The big, great big people, I don't know how you're going to get that in part of the infrastructure bill. Who's going to pay for these hundreds of thousands of dollars? Your taxes will go up. But when you had the draft on, Vietnam War was going on, there were some big linebackers who were teaching elementary school, and I had some of them as teachers, because one of the things you could get a draft deferment for, not just bone spurs, was if you're teaching. So every once in a while, you'd have the assembly, you'd have like little third grade teachers. And then you have a couple other teachers that look like linebackers from Michigan, all together with the 90-year-old teacher. And you got a guy who looks old to me, but he's maybe 23.
Well, that's how I learned from Mr. Garcia in the sixth grade. He threw my ass up against the lockers, and that was the end of it. No kidding. I used to push my female teachers little bit by little bit and get in trouble. But this is one thing that I do believe in, that we're going to pay now or we're going to pay later. And isn't it amazing? The two types of people we don't take care of are the young and the old. And it's amazing. All of us were young, and hopefully all of us will be old.
Thank you once again, Dr. Paul Thompson, my friend. Thank you for your love, your time. And that's something that we won't ever get back. I want to thank all the listeners too. Thank you so much for doing the show, Dr. Paul. We're jamming.
Well, thank you, Mr. Drew, for inviting me on. Always good to talk to you. And ladies and gentlemen, please remember to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast or any of the podcasts. If you're looking at YouTube, They say smash the like button. Don't smash it. Just press it gently and refer to use as a link to all your friends. You can also look at us on our website, wingmenshow.com, W-I-N-G-M-E-N, show, S-H-O-W.com, all together, wingmenshow.com. And we hope to see you in the future. Thanks again, Mr. Drew.
Oh, you're welcome. And we're still floating like butterflies and stinging like bees. Rumble, you badass jet pilots, rumble. May there be peace on earth and goodwill towards all men and women.